From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Greetings, gentlemen and ladies. Welcome to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. My name is Matt.
And I am Ben.
And we hope you're feeling all right.
Yeah.
We hope everything's going okay. I know you're probably overworked, as we all are right now in our jobs, trying to maintain our mortgages and or rent and or all the other things in life that we have to do.
Sure, and despite the stress that can accumulate in every single person's life, whether it's money or a personal problem, we do want you to know that, no fooling, people do care about you.
That's right. Your family, your friends, even us here, Ben and I, we genuinely care. We hope you guys are doing all right. And,
don't do anything crazy is our caveat for the beginning of this episode. Don't do anything crazy or don't be impulsive and make a decision that you may not live to regret.
Very well put, Ben.
Yeah.
All right. So, we're going to get started. This episode is about some recent things that are going on. And the first part that we're kind of going to go over here is just a timeline of events and people, specifically, people who have died recently.
Right. Now, you probably heard the headlines recently, beginning probably around January, right, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
About what became called a spate of banker suicides. We're going to look into that today in a little bit more detail, and we're going to answer some of the following questions. What happened to whom? When did it happen? And how much of this is sort of speculation and exaggeration? And how much of it is proven and factual?
Exactly. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started, Ben. The first person that we're going to talk about is David Byrd. And he is not currently dead, or at least it's not known whether or not he's deceased. He's a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, and he's currently missing. He's been missing since January 11th of this year. And he essentially was helping his wife, and then he decided to take a walk, and now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why this is, or the reason why we've begun with this is because as a reporter, he was covering the oil and commodity markets, that just happened to be under investigation by the U.S. Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations for Price Manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that this perhaps is, pertinent. And, I'd also like to note that I got this at least partial list from Newswatch.us, which is an interesting website, but all of these things that I'm going to be telling you and Ben will be telling you have been corroborated by multiple sources.
Right. And Matt, I've got a timeline here that might be a little bit different. So stop me if I'm jumping chronologically. So the next step I have is Sunday, January 26th. London police find a fellow named William Brokesmith dead in his home after an apparent suicide. This is at the very beginning of the year. One thing that's interesting about Mr. Brokesmith here is that he is at the time of his death, he is a 58-year-old former senior executive at Deutsche Bank AG. So that is our first in this timeline of banker suicides. Again, his death was ruled a suicide.
Yeah, it's true. And one of the interesting things about that is that Deutsche Bank was under investigation for hiding billions of dollars during the financial crisis and potentially even rigging the foreign exchange markets. So again, the reasons that we might be giving you here afterwards are the reasons that people are trying to make connections here and make a full story rather than this man committed suicide, this person committed suicide.
Sure. And the emphasis there, I guess what we're doing at this point in the show is showing individual pieces of what some people are saying is a bigger puzzle.
Yeah, we're putting pins into the map. Right.
Right. Yeah. And we'll get to the strings. But again, we've got some pros and cons about these theories. But let's go through the timeline, as you said. Next step.
Well, I also have another person who died on the 26th, Tim Dickinson, who was a UK-based communications director, and he worked at Swiss REAG. And It's a little weird. There's not a lot of information that's come out about him yet. He died under undisclosed circumstances, at least from what I've read thus far. So we'll have to get back to him.
Okay. While we're waiting to get back to him, I have something from the next day, Monday, January 27th. Tata Motors managing director Carl Slim dies after falling from a hotel room in Bangkok, Thailand. Police currently have ruled this as a possible suicide. Slim was 51. He had gone to Thailand, the Bangkok Tata Motors unit, to attend a board meeting, and he was staying with his wife, the Shangri-La Hotel. His body was found on the next Sunday, or his body was found on a Sunday.
Yeah, and his story may not be completely related to this. However, it's still, I think, worth noting here. I also have him on my list, Ben, because I haven't been able to really put his story together at all yet with any of this, but let's just remember that he's there.
All right, and then let's move on to Tuesday, right?
Yeah, well, the day after that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a man named Gabriel Magui, who's a 39-year-old J.P. Morgan employee who died after falling again.
Mm-hmm.
He fell off the roof of the European headquarters in London, and at the time he was vice president of J.P. Morgan Chase & Company's London headquarters.
Well, vice president of the technology department.
Yes, exactly.
Which I wanted to ask, does that mean he's an IT guy?
That's what it would seem like, or at least I've maybe just talked to some people here mm-hmm. and how stuff works just to know exactly what that meant.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure. And again, J.P. Morgan was under investigation for foreign exchange rates rigging. They were also reportedly under investigation by the same U.S. Senate permanent subcommittee that was looking into Deutsche Bank.
And we had a tragedy-filled week here because the very next day, Wednesday, January 29th, Mike Duker, I hope I'm pronouncing that name right, Russell Investments chief economist, was found dead in what police say is an apparent suicide. He died in Tacoma, Washington at a place called Tacoma Narrows Bridge. According to the police, he took his life by jumping from a ramp near the bridge in Tacoma. That's according to Associated Press. But Bloomberg had an interesting note here when they said that Mike Duker had been missing since January 29th, and his friends and law enforcement have been searching for him.
That's pretty crazy. It's also here just to note, in November 2013, the New York Times had reported that Russell Investments, for whom this guy worked, was under investigation as well. It's one of the investment companies that was subpoenaed by the New York state regulators investigating potential pay-to-play schemes that had to do with New York pension funds. So a lot of investigations going on that are connected up to these people who are dying. Okay, so now let's move on to my next one is February 3rd.
Yeah, the next week, that Monday, right?
Yep, a man named Ryan Henry Crane. He was the executive director in J.P. Morgan's Global Equities Group. Oh, it says the cause of his death has not yet been determined. However, there is a pending toxicology test, and that should be coming out in the next 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, and he died in his Stamford, Connecticut home.
Yes.
And then we have, let's see, we fast forward. The next thing I've got is Tuesday, February 18th.
Well, there is
you got
one more
before that.
There is one more on the 6th, a man named Richard Talley. This one, again, this is one of those that may or may not be connected, but it's just worth putting in here, I think.
Okay, what did Talley do?
Richard Talley was found in his garage, and he reportedly died of 7 or 8 self-inflicted nail gun wounds to his chest and his head. He was the CEO of American Title, and he was also... He started it and was working with several investment companies. He started them, and then he was also working for them. This one is just really weird, and his company, again, was under investigation by state insurance regulators at the time of his death.
Okay, I've got a couple more here. Okay. So February 18th, a 33-year-old J.P. Morgan Forex trader. I don't have his name yet.
I think it's Li Junji.
But in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. He apparently committed suicide on the 18th, 33, which is a very young age.
Which happens to be February, or the, isn't it yesterday? As
we're recording this.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's go straight to the gist of the conspiratorial ideas surrounding this. Let's just cut right to the bone here, rip the duct tape off. The idea here that a lot of people are saying on the internet is that something big has gone down in the world of banking, and that investment bankers are silencing their own before the government gets to them. Matt, what do you think about this?
It's a really tough one, and this is a tough situation because you and I, Ben, we both know that all of these families right now are grieving, and I hope we're not tackling this subject in too harsh of a way or callous of a way. Hope we're not doing that. That's not the intent here. However, it would seem as though there is something going on. This is a lot of deaths in a really short amount of time, and there are a lot of investigations going on in this exact same amount of time, and it seems to me that perhaps there is something bigger here, especially when it comes to the foreign exchange rates. There's a lot of money involved with these things, and there are a lot of players. And as we found out over the years, Ben, a lot of this stuff is connected. A lot of these corporations, you know, work together.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's something bigger. There's no way for me to prove this right now,
mm-hmm.
at least at our current standing. But the feeling is there, I would say.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Matt. I've had a tough time with this as well because we know a couple of things, and it's important to remember some critical thinking rules here first. First, we know that these people, while they may be working in the same general industry, are working in enormous companies in an enormous industry. And of course, like any other pyramid or hierarchy, it gets smaller the further up you go. But additionally, these people have died, you know, whether it's unidentified causes or whether it's, suicide, these people have died in different countries, under often different circumstances.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And we also have to remember that they're working very high stress jobs.
Sure.
The financial industry is not an easy thing to tackle. The hours that you have to put in if you want to be successful are insane. I've got a few friends who work in that industry, and it seems to be a grueling thing.
Yes, especially when you get in your beginning, maybe in your mid-20s, you're working an exhausting schedule for a very long time with very little time off. However, these people were not spring chickens in this game.
No, you're looking at several guys in their 50s, a couple in their 30s,
mm-hmm.
and executives too.
Right. Here's one thing, though, that I think is important to say from the offset, going back to the original point I was making about critical thinking, is that we as a society are still learning or coming to grips with the idea that it's much easier to transmit information. I wasn't able to find a good, reliable statistic about the number of average banker suicides per year. And I don't know if it would necessarily apply because some might be filed under, you know, economist suicides or IT communications director suicides, which would be frightening if that was its own field.
Yeah.
But, as far as I can find, there's not something with which we can compare to figure out if this is a case of legitimate spate of suicide or purported suicides, or if it's just the echo chamber of the internet attempting to connect dots that are not connected. And I know that's such a, I know in a lot of ways some people would find that offensive, but it is a necessary thing to say when we talk about things like this. Now, Of course, I'm really glad you put that disclaimer in. We are not in any way trying to, we're not in any way trying to trample on the memory of these people. What we are trying to do is figure out whether or not there could be something to this. I mean, it's obvious now. It is no longer a conspiracy theory to say that many international banks are breaking numerous laws. That's pretty much clear.
Yeah, they're doing it. They will get caught, and then they will pay a nominal fee in order to continue.
Cost of doing business.
Absolutely.
It's like taxation at this point.
We did our episode on HSBC, our Digging Deeper. Mm-hmm. That was one of my favorite things we ever covered because it was just such an obvious, and it is a conspiracy because there are men conspiring to break the law willingly.
Sure.
Again, that's such a weird concept to me, but it hasn't stopped, especially with the LIBOR scandals that have been going on. It takes me to a really dark place, Ben. I don't really like it very much.
So
even contemplating this stuff.
So at this point, what it sounds like we're getting at here is that I'm a little bit more hesitant to call this a conspiracy, and you're a little bit closer to the side that says there might be something going on.
Yeah, and I think it could be my own fault for, you know, I'm being pushed in that direction. I think because of some of the media that I'm consuming right now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm knee deep in House of Cards season two.
right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm watching True Detective religiously, and I'm all of these things. I don't know if it's doing it or if just maybe this is the lens that I'm seeing things through right now.
Or maybe it's true. I don't know.
Maybe it's true. It's certainly not unprecedented.
So what could it be then? Because several of these bankers are JP Morgan affiliates or former affiliates. But from what we know, at least from what we can find, these individuals did not work together. They were not in related. They were in a related ocean, if you'll picture it, but not the same strata or depth.
Sure, sure. It makes me think of Ozymandias, and
in The Watchmen.
And The Watchmen.
Okay,
and
I didn't know if you were quoting Yeats at me.
I'm not.
People who haven't read the Ozymandias poem, just as a side note, you might enjoy it, especially if you enjoy our show. It is about the downfall of empires. Spoiler alert, I guess. But I feel like if you feel that that poem was spoiled, you're a little bit behind the game already. So Ozymandias in The Watchmen is a different character. Maybe that one is something that we should do a spoiler alert for. The best way to say it is that I think what we're talking about here is the idea of plausible deniability and compartmentalization, right? That's what it's often called in intelligence or in tradecraft, you know, or spycraft rather. The idea that one person can know part of a plan, and if that person is caught, then we only lose that segment of the larger plan.
Yes, and that segment isn't necessarily ominous for any wide-reaching reason.
And here's another thing that reminds me of, which might be a little safer. You remember that old children's story about the blind mice and the elephant?
Three blind mice?
It's like it changes sometimes depending on which culture the story comes from, but the idea is this. There are these mice. They might be, sometimes they're blind, sometimes they're not, but the point is they're really small, and they run into this thing, and they're trying to figure out what it is, and one mouse is feeling around the legs and says, oh, this is a tree. This is a gigantic tree, and the other one somehow, I guess, is involved with the trunk, and it's like, no, it's a snake. It's after me, and someone else, no, it's a tail. Someone feels the ears, the tusk, etc., and because of their limited viewpoints, it takes them a while to realize that it's all one big thing.
That's really good.
That it's an elephant rather than, you know, palm fronds or whatever.
That's really, really good. And maybe that is what we're looking at here. Maybe not, but perhaps it is part of this massive worldwide kind of pyramid scheme that is the financial world.
Well, man, we live in the future, so everything is worldwide nowadays. But I have to, even us, isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. So we have to We have to make sure we don't think about that too much, because then we'll be like the cartoons of Elmer Fudd or Wile E. Coyote, where they walk off the cliff and they're fine until they look down. Don't look down. So what I'd like to do, if you're okay with it, is ask you if there are some ways that you can connect some dots here. Now, you've mentioned a couple things. You've mentioned the LIBOR scandal.
Yes.
Which is ongoing. You've mentioned some of the shenanigans going on with foreign currency trades, mm-hmm. which is another huge avenue or huge vector. You know what? I'm going to use some terminology used in diseases. It's a huge vector for corruption. And make no mistake, corruption is a disease.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So I'm on board. I want to hear this. I want to hear more about this stuff.
Well, I wish I had a ton more. I can give you a couple snippets.
All right.
One interesting thing that happened recently, which was reported on the 17th, everybody knows who George Soros is.
Oh, yeah. One of the richest politically active people in the world.
Well, he's recently, he's had a bet for a while, a put option against the S&P 500, but he recently increased that bet by 154%, and it's up to $1.3 billion.
With a B.
Billion.
Wow.
Yes. And it's a put option that basically says if the stock price decreases rapidly, he can still exchange at a certain rate for a certain amount of time.
You know, that makes me think. That does make me think. That sounds corrupt. I don't know if you can be that wealthy or that involved and make that large of a bet without some sort of insider information.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money, even for George Soros. And to be fair, it's his fund management or whatever it's called. I don't even know what it's called.
Does he personally make the calls for that? Or is it more like he is just the controlling money?
Plausible deniability, dude.
Yeah, he's like a super PAC. Yeah, like
there are three or four people that has to go through. No, I have no idea if he actually does that or not. This is just from, I got that from MarketWatch, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that in itself isn't something too nefarious. It's a guy with a crap load of money that's making a bet.
Right.
But.
Okay.
But it's a bet that basically everything's going to come tumbling down, or at least pretty hard. And he will still be profitable by being able to sell it at that high price.
Yeah. People in elevated positions can usually smell what's on the wind before people down on the ground, right? To make a weird comparison.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that I think could give some context to this, that I would say in defense of this, as in defense of the current conspiracy theory surrounding this, one thing that we can definitely say is that we know there have been active conspiracies to kill people in various industries before. There was an ongoing effort, or at least there was until very recently, to murder scientists in Iran who were working on nuclear energy.
Yes.
And this sort of stuff was denied with a wink and a nod by politicians both in the United States and in Israel. And we know that, I mean, that clearly is not an apples-to-apples comparison, because these Iranian scientists were obviously being murdered. They were not being, you know, they weren't found hanging somewhere.
Yeah.
But we've also seen other cases where scientists, or even former intelligence agents are found in what I would say are questionable suicide circumstances. Like, remember that guy from the UK who was, found zipped up in a bag and they said it was a suicide?
Yeah, I never understand how that can even happen. How do you report that as a suicide?
And you and I have run into a surprising and tragic number of things that are clearly not suicides. They're ruled as suicides. The old self-inflicted two shots to the back of the head.
Yeah.
And
you know, interestingly enough, just to be completely devil's advocate here, I was reading about how it is possible to have two shots to the head, about how if the first one isn't fatal and you're still functioning and
you can just twitch your finger again. It depends on the firearm too.
Yeah. And I know, God, that's a horrible thing to think about, but just to put that out there.
Well, at this point, speaking of putting it out there, maybe it's time that we put this question to our listeners, right?
That's a great idea.
But before we do, we've got some questions for you guys, but before we do, Matt, can you, let people know again where they can learn more about this?
Absolutely. There are a ton of places you can learn about this stuff. Okay, so first thing, if you're interested in the foreign currency trading fraud or Forex and some of the stuff we were talking about, of all places, you can go to the U.S. Commodity Futures and Trading Commission website, and they've got a ton of information in there about basically signs of a possible fraudulent sales pitch, so you can protect yourself, maybe your mom or your dad if they're getting a little older, or your grandparents, which is a real thing that happens.
Sure.
That's actually not a bad idea. You can go, this is a weird thing to plug, but of all places, Reddit has been the best source for this topic for me. There have been a lot of people posting, and especially on our conspiracy, ton of people just updating constantly with this stuff.
And there's been some great stuff on our world news.
Mm-hmm.
Reddit, I think, is a pretty valuable resource in a lot of ways, although there is a real hive mind and it can be a bit of an echo chamber. As we said earlier, there's this beautiful tendency, or let's say beautiful potential, for Reddit to fact check itself and give itself the latest updates. Of course, there's also a tendency to be cartoonishly pedantic, to miss every point, and to have just a tragic confirmation bias of sorts. Yeah. And I do mean that for both those who consider themselves conspiracy theorists and those who consider themselves skeptics.
Sure. The great thing is that it just gathers together all of those different sources, and you really have to use that old critical thinking skill set that you've got again and use it to the best of your ability.
And while you're on the internet, why not check out our site, stufftheydontwantyoutoknow.com? Why not check out our Facebook and our Twitter? We've got some amazing stuff coming out there, already out in some cases and coming up in the near future in others. And by near future, I mean when I get out of this studio, right?
Yep.
We want to throw these questions to you. We've got some ideas that we'd like to hear from you about with email. First, do you think there's something bigger to this? Is this a coincidence or is this a conspiracy? I think that's a great question. No matter what your answer is, tell us why. We'd love to hear from you. And you can send your answers to us via Facebook or Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. You can also cut through the social media circus if that's not your thing and send us an email directly, as many others have done recently. Our email address is
conspiracy@discovery.com.
For more on this topic and other unexplained phenomena, visit testtube.com/conspiracy stuff. You can also get in touch on Twitter at the handle @conspiracy stuff.